The nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria, in for a bit of a technical hitch this morning, but we're finally here on the last 1 hour of the show. It's 12 past the hour. Apologies for the delay in getting this last conversation on the road. Dr. Muda Yusuf joins us via the telephone this morning. Dr. Yusuf, good morning to you and thank you for joining us, sir.
Good morning, Sheriff. My pleasure.
Sincere apologies for the delay, sir. Thank you for staying with us. Let's jump right in, Dr. Muda Yusuf, and I want us to start, you know, from some of the plans set out by President Tinubu's administration for economic recovery. Holistically, looking at everything put together, we'll put everything apart in a moment, but let's look at them holistically now. Do you think, people have said that it looks good, it looks very wonderful, but do you think that way? And if you do, do you have that kind of, are you optimistic that what is on paper will translate to economic recovery at the end of the day? Are you optimistic?
Yes, I am. Well, a number of major reforms have been undertaken by the current administration. First of all, let us recognize that there's a lot of correction that needs to be done in the way we have been managing the economy. There are quite a number of distortions that needs to be corrected. And unless we correct those distortions, it will be difficult, you know, to put the economy on a recovery and growth path. So part of the correction that has taken place are the reforms that we have had so far. And the most impactful of those reforms are the one around the oil and gas sector, specifically the fuel subsidy removal and the foreign exchange rate convergence. Those are the two main corrective reforms that has taken place. And of course, there are issues around them. The responses to the outcomes of those reforms, it is debatable whether the government has responded adequately and the way they should. But those reforms are very, very important. And of course, you see the ongoing efforts to reform the tax system through the Presidential Committee on Tax. Also related to that is some fiscal reforms. We have seen the enactment of a law on the education loan. You know, we are seeing the reversal of some taxes that were imposed by the previous administration, particularly the excise duty tax, the green tax, and I think something that has to do with vehicle tax, all in an effort to reduce the pressure of taxation on the on manufacturers especially. So a number of steps have been taken, but the social aspects or the social outcomes of those reforms, I think, are things that the government needs to do a lot more about, you know, so that because whatever we do, we must give a human face to it, you know, because at the end of the day, the economy is about human beings.
Dr. Yusuf, let's piece things apart. Let's pick them one after the other. Let's start from the MSMEs. The president has pledged about $125 billion to fund micro, small, medium-sized enterprises. The president said of this amount, $50 billion will be allocated to provide grants to 1 million nano businesses by March of 2024. You know, some have said that he meant from now to March. I'm not exactly clear on that. Now, each of the 774 local governments in Nigeria will receive a minimum of 50,000 naira each, benefiting about 1,300 nano business owners in each local government. Dr. Yusuf, $125 billion for MSMEs. What's your thought on this, and how do you view it as an expert?
Well, it's not a bad idea. First of all, whatever intervention the government is making needs to be holistic, and I want to believe that this monetary intervention is only part of the many interventions that we expect that the government should come with. Because if you look at the experience in the last 1 month especially, in fact, the last 2 months, really. The key pain points, really, about the cost of food, the cost of transportation, and the high energy cost. Those are the three main issues that Nigerians are grappling with, whether they are talking of businesses, you are talking about MSMEs, or you are talking about individuals. So this monetary intervention is not bad, but you can only regard it as a part of the solution or a part of the intervention to ease the pain and the pressures that the citizens and businesses are going through. Because if you look at the financial space, I mean, hardly can any SME get any credit, you know, less than 25 to 30%. We talk to people outside there, they will tell you. That is the kind of interest rate they get, they pay to be able to access credit. And the beauty of some of these facilities is that it has a much longer tenor. I mean, the president was talking about a tenor of almost 60 months.
That's right.
That's about 5 years.
That's right.
You hardly can get that in any commercial bank. So it is a form of credit subsidy. Because we also must recognize, when we talk about subsidy, we should not have a sweeping condemnation of subsidy, particularly in a developing economy. Even in advanced economies, they have huge levels of energy subsidy. There's education subsidy. There's health subsidy. There's agri or food subsidy. There's also credit subsidy. There's heavy subsidy on transportation. So the concept of subsidy, we should not demonize it. What is wrong with our own concept of subsidy is that it is prone to corruption. And we can fine-tune that. Because the way to protect the vulnerable segments of society is to use government resources to provide subsidy in some critical areas. So what is happening is like a credit subsidy. Because the rate is highly concessionary. MPR, which is monetary policy rate, which is like the base rate, currently is 18.75. So if the government is giving something at 9%, and a component of even this intervention is even a grant. 50 billion of it is a grant. So all these MSMEs and all of that, of course, there are issues with how that will be distributed.
Exactly, Dr. Yusuf. That's exactly what I want to, you know, chip in now, that whether you have any concerns, reservations, especially on the framework of, especially on the framework of distributing these grants, these facilities to nano businesses, MSMEs, because some of the concerns that people have expressed is that politicians, in their usual manner, in their usual way, would hijack this at the end of the day. Do you share that sentiment?
Yes, of course, I share that concern. The government has not come up with any clear framework for the delivery of that, you know. But I agree.
Does that bother you, though, that government is talking about plans and they have no framework yet on the ground?
Well, maybe they have not disclosed it. I'm sure they must have something. Because in the president's speech, he also talked about engaging some of the development partners. Know, to be able to, you know, come up with a framework that be able to ensure effective delivery of this. But generally, in this environment, it's extremely difficult when you are giving something free to ensure that it is not there is not too much interference.
Yeah,
the risk of interference is high. The risk of corruption is high, and the risk that those who will benefit are loyalists or supporters of a particular political party. That risk is also very high. I don't know how we are going to deal with that, but it is high. But the good thing is that at least the spread has been clearly spread out. If you go to all the local governments of the
right,
the number is also there. But how we will, you know, ring fence it to ensure that politicians don't hijack it. This is a major issue that we need to worry about.
Dr. Yusuf, you are an economist, a respected one at that. And that's why I want us to delve into what you mentioned earlier, the 9% interest rate and the long tenor. Some of your colleagues in the economy space, they've opined that this may have adverse effects on lendings, and borrowings through the conventional banking system? Because we know the monetary policy, whatever, rate of lending, interest rate is there. Now, if government is putting out another interest entirely just so we can revitalize the economy and put it on a path that would result into growth, how would this have, what impact would this have on operations of banks?
No, you see, we need to get a few things right. We cannot throw the economy entirely into this principle of market forces or market economy. We cannot afford to go from one extreme to another extreme. In every economy, even in the best model of free enterprise economy, there's always a window of government intervention. That was why I highlighted all the subsidy programs that exist across the world. Because if you leave the economy entirely to free enterprise or free market, the vulnerable segments of the society will suffer. That is the reality. Do you think somebody who's investing in agriculture can compete in the credit market with somebody who is buying and selling? Or somebody who is in ICT? Or somebody who is in some other service sectors that are very lucrative? There's no way. Do you think somebody who is investing in manufacturing can compete with somebody who is importing stores from China and selling? Or somebody who's in transportation? You can't compete. Do you think if you leave something like the school system entirely to the private sector, how will the children of the poor be able to go to school? Now look at what is happening with transportation. The citizens are crying out because the transportation space is dominated by private sector players.
True.
And the private sector typically is there for profit. The commercial banks are there for profit. You cannot consign the economy entirely to this free market space. You need to define the limits of market forces. You need to define the limits of even the role of the private sector so that you can have social stability. So for these SMEs and all these... if you look at the financial system now, over 90% of funds in the financial system are less than a year or 2 years in terms of tenure. So if you want to fund a project whose gestation period will go up to 4, 5 years, 10 years,
Dr. Muda,
are you going to get the finances?
Dr. Muda, stay with me. I need to head out for a break. Yes, we're back here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Lagos, thank you for joining us. Yes, let's continue with our conversation with Dr. Muda Yusuf on the president's plan for economic recovery. Dr. Yusuf, thank you again for joining us on the show this morning. I'd like for us to quickly move on to another aspect of what the president, you know, said, and that is the 75 billion naira to fund 75 enterprises to strengthen manufacturing sector. What are your thoughts on this, Dr. Yusuf?
Well, it's not different conceptually from the 125 billion for SMEs. Because the whole essence is to give concessionary credit. And just as I was saying, for a developing economy like ours, you need various forms of subsidy. The kind of subsidy that cannot be abused. That's what is important. For manufacturing, they need concessionary credit. That is why we have the development finance window. All of this, I'm sure, is coming through the development finance window, where manufacturers can be given credit at single digit and at a longer tenure. Well, these are things you cannot find ordinarily in the conventional commercial banks. So it is good. At least it's part of the cushioning effects. But what is more important is to deal with the bigger issues, you know, of issues of foreign exchange, depreciation, the volatility in the foreign exchange market, the high energy cost, the issue of power, the purchasing power of the citizens, those are bigger issues which I expect the government to also be addressing, because if you have the fund, you produce, and there's nobody is buying. I mean, what is the essence?
In everything that the president said the other day, did you hear anything in this regard of what you're mentioning right now? Because I know the president mentioned, to pump money into agriculture, rice farming, cassava, wheat, and all of that. Also to pump money into about 100 billion or so into transportation. Will this, does this sound like what you're talking about, Dr. Yusuf?
No. I like to see bigger macro issues. These are like micro interventions. And when you intervene at a micro level, they are normally not far reaching enough. Take for instance, if the government has announced a major tax relief or a major reduction in import duty, either for manufacturers or for those who are in transportation or those who are in the medical field, or even those who are in ICT, some critical sectors like that.
Yeah.
Even those in manufacturing, there are some of them whose raw materials whose import duty on raw materials are extremely very high. So in addition to whatever the government is doing at this micro level, we should also be looking at what can be done at the policy level. Because policy interventions are more systemic. They are more wide-reaching. They reach a lot, a whole number of people, a lot more. I mean, for instance, take all these vehicles, all these buses, import duty on some of these vehicles can be as high as 50%, 60%. If you add the import duty with the levy, I mean, for all these young people, middle class, who want to own a car, even though the fuel price is still high.
Yeah.
All these are young people who are in the e-hailing business.
That's right.
We can reduce, those import duties. We can do the same thing for those who want to invest in power sector, those who want to invest in refineries. Once you come at that macro level, all the investors in that space, they benefit automatically. Don't have to go and lobby anybody, don't have to go and meet any bank manager or something. So in addition to what the government is doing, I'm not diminishing the importance of that, but we should be looking at macro issues, how we can deal with all these macro issues, and more importantly, the social problem that some of these reforms have created. They are talking about cost of food, they are talking about cost of transportation, they are talking about high cost of energy. We cannot continue to drive the economy based exclusively on market principles. If you follow that path, a lot of poor people will suffer. So we need to craft our policy in a way that there's a social dimension to policy making, so that you have a policy environment that is more inclusive and that is more sensitive to the feelings of the ordinary Nigerians. Those things are very important.
Talking about that, Dr. Muda, you mentioned earlier about the tax reform committee that the president inaugurated yesterday. By the way, the team lead of that committee will be joining me on the show tomorrow. But if you monitored what has been in the news this morning, is about people interpreting that committee to mean that there will be more taxes imposed on people, or increasing taxes. But how would you advise? But then it's left for the committee to iron out what the government has set up for them as a target, because some of the report also has it that there's a target of tax GDP ratio increment to 18% in 3 years. But what would you say should be, because you've mentioned the tax part of it severally on the show this morning, what would you say should be the focal point of this committee in the tax reform assignment that they've been given?
Well, my understanding of what the committee is trying to do is to ensure efficiency in tax administration in a way that will not increase taxes, but will make the system more efficient so that all the leakages in the tax system will be blocked. and more importantly, all the non-tax revenue, because there are quite a number of revenue that are coming to government that are not tax-related,
mm-hmm.
especially revenues coming from these MDAs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of leakages also go on with those kind of revenues. I think the strategy is to capture all those revenue into the purse of government.
Okay.
For me, I think that is what, because they talked about even reducing the number of taxes,
mm-hmm.
which would be good both for the SMEs, the big companies, and even for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I think, that kind of harmonization will help. The overlapping taxes, multiple taxation, I think the committee is out to reduce all of that. That is what I'm looking forward. But another very important thing is for the committee to come up with tax concession, because everything should not be about revenue generation. Because there's a way when there's too much emphasis on raising revenue, there's a way it penalizes the citizens. Because you move a lot more resources from the economy into the hands of government.
Mm.
I know what it is when more resources fall into the hands of politicians and government. You know what happens?
Hmm.
You know, there's no guarantee that this thing will be deployed in a way that will come back to benefit the people.
Hmm.
So in addition to raising up the revenue, which I think is right, because government needs a lot more revenue,
mm-hmm.
we need to also come up with concessions to leave more resources in the hands of people.
Right.
In the hands of businesses, SMEs, and the rest of them.
Dr. Muda, let's leave it there this morning, sir, because we're completely out of time. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Lagos, that's our show. I'll see you tomorrow at 5.